Heavenly Father, we thank you for the silence and stillness that we encounter as we greet a new week. Dear Lord, help this today to be about foundation building, building upon the firm foundation, the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us turn all of our hearts and minds toward you, O Lord, and may these words be yours to edify and strengthen the foundation. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord asked Elijah the same question twice in today's Old Testament reading. Did you catch that? Elijah also had the same answer twice. But I think the reason that he asked him twice is to kind of clue us in to an understanding that something isn't right with Elijah. Something's amiss. And that question is, what are you doing here, Elijah? He says. I want to backtrack a little bit. In the previous chapter, it was the pinnacle and the mountaintop of Elijah's ministry. He takes on the 400 prophets of Baal and defeats them on Mount Carmel in a dramatic contest in which bulls are prepared for an offering and a challenge is made by Elijah to the prophets of Baal. You call upon your gods and I'll call upon mine, and whichever bull is consumed by a greater fire wins the contest. And the prophets of Baal pour out in entreaties to their gods to do this. They cut themselves. They fall on their knees. They do everything they can. Elijah taunts them. And then when it's time for Elijah to go, he takes buckets and buckets of water and pours them on the bull, so much that the bull is almost submerged in water. And then calls upon the Lord, and the Lord lights it aflame. Wins the contest, drives out the prophets of Baal. Elijah kills them with the sword. And to put a cherry on top, he even runs back to the city ahead of the chariots, it says. So there could be no greater day for Elijah than this moment. And that is the exact thing that happens right before today's gospel reading. What changed? What went wrong? Such a contrast between the confidence, the taunting, being powerfully used by God, running ahead of the chariots, on and on and on, to our scripture today in which Elijah leaves his servant behind. And by the way, this is an important act because this is a servant for his ministry as a prophet. So if he's leaving his servant behind, he's saying that he no longer wants to be prophet. And he runs he goes 260 miles south into the wilderness of Sinai. This is about 260 miles from Beersheba, which is pretty close to where his southernmost ministry happened. So he's gone 260 miles even south of that. He's running away. He's going to the wilderness. You know, today, what we would call this for Elijah is burnout. I'm not sure if there's a Hebrew word for that. I don't know if they had a word for that in ancient Israel. But you can tell he's burned out, not only because of this running away, the dismissing of the servant, but also because in the verses before today's gospel, he says to the Lord, I've had enough. I'm not even better than my ancestors who basically went after false gods and denied you. And in today's gospel, when the Lord comes, notice the Lord doesn't come in the earthquake or the fire or the dramatic wind. He comes in the still small voice. This is the Lord coming quietly to a man who's burned out to speak to them. And finally, when the Lord speaks that way, Elijah comes out of the cave. And it says that he has his cloak around his head. And I couldn't help but think of my students at school that just want me to be quiet. They just want, they're tired, they've been up all night probably playing video games. And so they put their hoodie on and they lay down on their desk and you can't even see their face. That's what I pictured for Elijah in this moment. He puts his cloak on his head. He's had enough. He's burned out. There may not be a word for burnout in ancient Israel, but there is a word for the corrective to burnout, and that is Sabbath. And the Lord, in his providential wisdom, knew that this was something that could happen and even worked it into one of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And the Lord goes to great lengths to help the people of Israel understand that they need to take a rest. They need to rest in the Lord. They need to not work all the time. There must be a break. There must be Sabbath. That's something really hard to learn in our culture and something hard for me as well and most pastors, I think. If we don't take a Sabbath, we risk a swift end to everything. Ministry, marriage, and any number of pitfalls that take place. I remember some sage advice from a colleague of mine when I was first starting ministry, and he took me aside and he said, if you don't take a day off besides Sunday afternoon, then you will destroy your life with something. It could be any host of number of things, but you'll destroy your life with something because you'll get to the point where you're so burned out, you can't function. So I always tried to take, Friday off when I was a full-time pastor and have that day. And the summers now really helped me with that, where I can really take an extra time. That's part of what Sarah and I were doing this summer, and going to Europe. Taking that Sabbath, taking that time away, and letting be renewed in the Lord, renewed in our marriage, to have that rest and to take that time. You guys will probably recognize the name Max Lucado, and he is a famous writer, Christian writer, has written tons of books. But at 34, he said, I was completely burned out. At age 34, in hopes to have a ministry that would go on for many years, I was completely burned out. I was trying to figure out if I should resign and stop ministry altogether. And he says, there's a couple things that the Holy Spirit showed me I was doing wrong. One is there was too much output and not enough input. And he's talking about with the Lord. He was giving to others constantly in ministry, right? But he wasn't taking that time to be renewed himself with God. Too much output, not enough input. That was one reason. And I wonder if this was something that was going on with Elijah. And when Elijah went out into the wilderness, again, after the prophets of Baal, prior to today's reading, the Lord sends an angel and bakes a raisin cake for him and sets it upon the stone by his head and says, rise and eat. And then he returns to sleep. And then he wakes up again and the angel is prepared another raisin cake for him. And he eats it and he lays back down and sleeps again. I think this is the Lord knowing Elijah, knowing where he's at and coming to input, coming to minister to him with food, with sleep, with some quiet time away from ministry. Now, for whatever reason, Elijah, and this is the problem that pastors get into, Elijah jumps back up and he goes 40 days and 40 nights, it says, on that nourishment and that refreshment to another place, Mount Horeb. And then it seems he's burnt out again, and that's where he's in the cave. He runs and gets in this cave for today's scripture. So he used all that immediately without trying to seek renewal along the way. 40 days and 40 nights is a long time to be doing anything. That's what he goes and does. And the Lord says again, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He says to this cave. Another lesson that Max Lucado learned, besides the input-output thing about his own burnout, was that he was leaning only on his own strength to do his ministry. He wasn't leaning on the Lord. He was sheltering that burden alone. You know, oftentimes, when you're so busy, right, doing whatever it is you're doing, you can forget to invite the Lord to be a part of it. You know your job, you know it well, right? But you can forget to pray and spend that time and say, "Lord, help me with this." Because we feel like we don't need help. We're a pro at this, whatever it is now we've done for so long. And that's a pitfall in any endeavor that you do. And eventually, it'll run you into the ground. The Lord must sustain. The Lord must be invited in. So what in any endeavor that you're doing, ministry is no different. And so Max Lucado was trying to do 1,000 things at once because he could. He thought he could until it ran him into the ground. Perhaps this is what Elijah feels like after the prophets of Baal. It's such a mountaintop for him, and he does so many things and so many things. Maybe he feels like it's all him, even though it's not. You know, another thing that happens right after the prophets of Baal is Jezebel, who is the one who is the, like, who loves Baal as a god. She's a big problem. She's the queen. She's the one who sent these prophets out for the contest. Well, she declares that she's going to kill him if it's the last thing that she does. And Elijah's scared of her. That's part of why he runs away. You know, why would Elijah be afraid of Jezebel, unless he feels like he's alone and it's just him? You know, if the Lord just lit up this gigantic bowl, which was soaked in water, the Lord can protect him from a wicked queen as well. So why is he afraid unless he feels like he's just doing this on his own? "I've had enough," he says, right? "I'm no better than my ancestors." Feels like he's shouldered this and taken upon on him and him alone. Well, Max Lucado is 68 now, and he's still in ministry. He's a teaching pastor at a church in Texas. So 34 years later, after the burnout, twice his life from then, double the years, right? He's still in ministry, and why? And he credits the Holy Spirit. And he says, he mentions a couple names from Scripture that the Lord gives to the Holy Spirit. Comforter is one. We see this in the raising cakes and the sleep, right, for Elijah. Comforter is one. An advocate is another. Someone who comes and goes with you in order to represent you. An advocate, right? And so these two roles really helped bring Max Lucado out of his burnout and letting the Lord in and seeking the Holy Spirit to free him up, to be with him. This is John 16, verse 7. "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away." This is Jesus talking. "Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So he's talking about when he's raised from the dead, then the Holy Spirit comes. And the Holy Spirit will be your advocate in the whatever trials and challenges that you are facing. So you're called to Sabbath. We're all called to Sabbath. and taking that time for input, we're also called to the Holy Spirit. Called to have time with the Holy Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit comfort us, to be an advocate for us, to not do this all alone, to not shoulder these things that we're going through and things in our job or whatever it is, whatever have you, fill in the blank. There's another character in the scriptures that has a where are you moment, and that is Moses. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household, right? Pharaoh even considered him a son. And that was until the day in which Moses went walking around and figured out that he was a Hebrew. And then he saw one day an Egyptian slave, I mean, a Hebrew slave to Egypt, being mistreated. And he killed the Egyptian slave master. And he was scared of what the Pharaoh might do and what everybody might think and so on and so forth. His people didn't even seem to back him for doing that. And so he ran away. He ran many miles to Midian, joined Jethro's family, became a shepherd. And that's when the burning bush takes place. And at the burning bush, let's go to that in the scripture here, Exodus 3, verse 11 and 12. I'll read it for you. But Moses said to God, this is after God gives him the plan. Hey, you're going to go back to Israel. I'm going to use you to lead them out of slavery, etc. But Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And then what God says next is the remedy for burnout. And he says, But God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. That's the remedy to burnout. Because burnout happens when we do everything alone. We don't seek time with God. We're too busy, right? And we don't ask for help because we think we got this. And we're too important, or we're doing too many things, right? And the remedy to that is the Lord's promise to be with us. That's the Holy Spirit, right? That's what it is. The Holy Spirit comes to be with us in Jesus' physical absence in order to sustain us and help us and comfort us. You guys know this verse well. I say it all the time. I use it all the time. It's Romans 8, 26. It's a beautiful verse, but it says a lot about the Holy Spirit. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. So in other words, when we're at our breaking point, when we can't even utter anything, the Spirit intercedes for us and prays with sighs too deep for words. We see that role of the Holy Spirit and importance in coming to renew us. Max Lucado tells one final story in this podcast that I heard this week. He said that when he was in 1983, he felt called to do ministry in South America. And so him and his wife boarded a plane with all their stuff and went to South America. And they landed, it was Brazil actually, and they landed, and Max Lucado's Portuguese wasn't very good. And so he couldn't communicate to the people there in customs. And they ended up retaining all of their things. And so him and his wife eventually just had to leave the airport and go try to find an apartment without anything. And they arrive at the apartment, they get an apartment, and the door is open, and their neighbor comes out of an apartment next door, and he sees that there's nothing in their house, and he says, "Where's all your things?" And And they explained to him that they're all being held in customs. And this man at the apartment, that is their neighbor, their new neighbor, is a customs lawyer. And so they talk, and eventually he goes with Max to the airport and talks to the customs officials there in Portuguese and with all the right legal terms that need to be said and done and the paperwork that needs to be signed in order for them, Max and his wife, to get all their stuff. And it took like 30 minutes to complete. And they had all their things back. The Holy Spirit is like that. And there's another verse in Scripture that says that the Holy Spirit is one who comes alongside us. And that's what this customs lawyer did for Max. He came alongside us. And the Holy Spirit does that for us too. And that's another remedy for our burnout. We don't have to do it alone. God is there. The body of Christ is there. Christ is there. If you notice too, in today's gospel, I didn't preach on it and I didn't dwell on it much because I knew the Lord was leading me to this Old Testament. But I noticed today when I read it, did you notice that Jesus dismisses the crowds? He did that last week in the gospel as well. He dismisses the crowds so he can go be alone on the mountain with the Father to pray. And so Jesus knew too that this is something you have to do. You have to take that Sabbath. You have to go be with God. There was never a shortage of crowds that wanted to be around Jesus. And it's a good message to us to know that sometimes it's okay to say no and to go seek that time with God. Otherwise, you can't keep going. It's as that pastor warned, you'll destroy your life with something, right? If you don't take that time. One final story today. There was a man named Adam Weber, and he was a 24-year-old straight out of seminary, and he got a call from the pastor who led him to Christ and actually, you know, encouraged him to go to seminary. And he says, "Hey, what would you think about planning a church?" And he thought, "Well, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't, that doesn't sound like something I'm called to do or want to do." And he says, "Well, just send out a few emails and see if people are interested." So he sends out a few emails, and sure enough, people are interested. And so he began with 32 people in this new church. And they had to borrow a church building for their worship. So they didn't have their own building. And so they, you know, after the church that they borrowed from had their worship in the morning, they would worship in the afternoon. And they had this sign. And this sign was really heavy. And it had to be carried out, you know, after their service, placed on the road. And then it had to be brought back in because that church didn't want people confused that, was there a new church here? Right? So it had to be taken up and down each week. And when, you know, when he remembered, it was fine because there were strong men in the congregation. They could carry that sign back at the end of the day. But sometimes he forgot. And one day, it was snowing. And it snowed about a foot. And in South Dakota, where he was doing ministry, they don't cancel church for anything because they just get snow all the time. And so they were there worshiping. Snow's about a foot during worship. And everybody's trying to go home. He tidies everything up and gets everything secure and drives very carefully home and then realizes that sign is still out there. And so he gets back in the car, comes back to the church, and of course he's alone. And he puts both shoulders underneath that sign. It's kind of one of those teepee signs. And he goes under it, has an opening in the top, sticks his head through there and tries to shoulder it with his shoulders through this foot of snow. And he just cries out to God, why am I here? And he says it out loud. You know, why am I here? And he realizes in saying this out loud that he's trying to do everything alone. That he isn't delegating. He isn't asking the Lord to shoulder this burden with him, to renew him. He isn't taking time for himself and the Lord. It's all output and not enough input. And so whether the question comes from God, why are you here, Elijah? Or if it comes from us, why am I here? Either way, the remedy is, I think, what Max Lucado pointed us to, and that is the Holy Spirit. Seek the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our advocate, one who comes alongside us. Take that time of renewal. Pray for whatever it is you're doing, a job, ministry, teaching, whatever it is. Pray that the Lord strengthen you and renew you. Seek the Lord daily. Have a time just for him, no matter how busy you get. Because it's easy to let that go and then get so busy you just stop doing it. Take that time, seek the Holy Spirit, like Jesus. Send the crowds away and go and take that time with the Father. Lean on one another as the body of Christ. Because we're not just individuals on this journey that happen to gather here, right? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord has made that so. Amen.